If you happen to be a regular viewer of Al Jazeera, you know the name and face of Kaiser Alooney. He was the network's correspondent on the ground in Afghanistan during the U.S. war against the Taliban. A year later, he moved to Baghdad to cover the invasion of Iraq. He often appeared on Al Jazeera as an analyst on the subject of Islamist terror groups. But Alooney's biggest claim to fame was his exclusive interview with Osama bin Laden shortly after the 9/11 attacks. Biggest, that is, until this week, when he was convicted by a Spanish judge of collaborating with Al-Qaeda and sentenced to 7 years in prison. According to the verdict, Alooney used his job in journalism as a cover for activities like passing money and messages between Al-Qaeda associates. James Badcock covered the trial for the English edition of the Spanish daily El País. He says much of the prosecution rested on circumstantial evidence about Alooney's ties to Islamist extremists in the 90s when he was working as a translator in Spain.
Telephone conversations, meetings, dinners, favors. He helped individuals. He would give them his house to stay in, or he helped people with their paperwork as they're immigrants, you know, from Arab countries, mostly from Syria in this case.
Some of the most damning evidence, I gather, occurred after he moved to Afghanistan to report there for Al Jazeera.
That's right. He moved to Afghanistan in 2000. The judge believed that he was encouraged to do so by Mustafa Setmarian, a fellow Syrian he had met in Spain. Setmarian was, by all accounts and by Alooney's own admission, working there in a terrorist training camp. And it's through Setmarian that Alooney was able to interview bin Laden. And in Afghanistan, Alooney received some money that was sent from the group's leader, Abu Dada, also convicted this week. He handed it to Mohammed Bahia, who is commonly held to be a messenger for Al-Qaeda.
Now, the money exchange, Alooney said that it was very innocent. How could it have been that?
Alooney doesn't claim to know what the money was for. He simply claims that he couldn't refuse, that these were people he knew and who trusted him. And the Muslim tradition of friendship and hospitality obliged him to go through with the act. Otherwise, they would be suspicious of him and he would be out of the loop. And he admits that it was in his interest to carry out this favor because he was getting information from these guys.
The International Federation of Journalists criticized the verdict and said that it could lead to self-censorship by journalists throughout the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And the editor-in-chief of Al Jazeera, Ahmad Sheikh, echoed the sentiment. He said, from the moment the world was divided into two camps, an axis of evil and an axis of good, our job became more complicated. Mm-hmm. As journalists, we have to talk to both camps.
I think there's an element of truth in that, for sure. All journalists know that, you know, the more phone conversations, the more meetings you have with people, then the closer you're going to get to the truth of that particular community. But the amount of personal contact Alooney has had with these men for many years, long before he was actually an independent journalist, these contacts weren't really something he was using in his daily work. He hasn't really managed to explain why so many of his friends were involved in this terrorist ring.
James, there seem to be a number of possibilities here. One is that Alooney is guilty as charged. Another is that he was merely caught in a web of circumstantial evidence that could trap any legitimate, unbiased journalist cultivating sources in a major ongoing story involving lots of bad, bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the third is that he isn't a terrorist, but a biased journalist with a lot of sympathy for a terrorist organization. What was your sense, having looked at the trial and looked at the evidence?
Well, there could be a strong argument for the third explanation. The judge seems to have accepted some of the grain of Alooney's defense, which was that as a journalist, it was in his interest to get to know members of an underground organization, such as this Al-Qaeda cell in Spain. The judge said in his summing up that journalistic truth, like all truth, doesn't come freely, and Alooney, and wanting to buy his slice of truth and his scoop, he overstepped the mark, that he actually found himself obliged to commit acts himself that broke the law and actually gave material help to this group of terrorists.
You know, there's this phenomenon that has been well observed over the years of beat reporters going native And that's when, you know, the guys who cover the State Department find themselves wearing tweed sport coats with patches on the elbows and smoking pipes. And when police reporters start talking in, you know, radio codes, he's 10-6 on that one. Is this a cautionary tale about the dangers of going native?
Well, of course, it's natural for any investigative journalist to get as close as he can to his sources and to make those sources feel as comfortable as possible and not have to draw them out of their natural habitat, as it were. Obviously, in the future, any journalist in a similar situation is going to have to think hard about what environment he's getting himself into and whether he's prepared to pay the price.
All right, James. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, welcome.
James Badcock is a freelance reporter based in Madrid. He covered the Tizer Aluni case for the Spanish daily El País.